Welcome to Three in the Box. Yes, this is the Meat Beast. I am not in the studio right now. I'm actually in Detroit because I wanted to catch the first game of Detroit versus Chicago, but did not want to be anywhere near our new divisional rival, their arena. Not right now. No, not to watch Detroit play them. But I digress. I'd like to get everybody to say a quick hi to what would normally be my right in the studio. In the red-faced wild ball cap is Aaron.
Hello, I'd like to take this time to
discuss. And, of course, across from where I'd normally be sitting is Kenny, probably wearing a PSAV polo, if I were to guess.
Dude, you jerk. Why don't you just shut up?
I'm and sick of listening behind to your... where I'm normally sitting, of course, is Jive. Jive, say hello to the kids. Jive, of course, never wears a hat. And tonight, we are going to talk about the final game of the Blackhawks versus the Wild series. And what's going on with the team, what we think they can improve on, what made us fall apart a little bit through the series, and where we need some improvement. I'm going to go run around Detroit right now and try and see if I can scare up any ladies in this desolate wasteland of former Michigan Steel. And I'll hand it off to the gentleman to start the discussion. All right, and yes.
All right, yes. Thanks, Josh. We are, as you heard from Josh, who's currently somewhere. Where in the world is Josh?
Pittsburgh, maybe.
He's busy doing some stuff, and he at least wanted to send his regards for the last show of the proper season for the Wild. As you heard, we started off with taps, signifying our great loss. So we might as well get right into it. Wild lose game 5, 1-5.
Yeah, well,
I had to say predicted it, but I predicted it.
Yes, you did. You won that series too.
Yep, I predicted that the Blackhawks would win in 5, and they ended up doing it. I actually thought the Wild gave it a good run, considering considering some of the pundits had them getting swept in this round, and at least in 2 of the games they were really competitive. The other 3, not so much.
Well, I know during that last game, Aaron, I'm guessing it was you that was tweeting because I was busy dealing with a bunch of other stuff. But I had missed this, but Jeremy Roenick said that the Wild would not win a Stanley Cup. And, you know, I like your response of, well, if anyone knows about not winning a Stanley Cup, it's Jeremy Roenick.
Yep, he was right. What can I say?
So I guess not all the pundits are incorrect, but hey, we're Minnesota fans. We're used to not winning championships.
Yeah. So, and probably the biggest downfall for the Wild, I think, throughout the series and probably that game, obviously, that everybody knows and has talked about, is their special teams, basically,
Yeah, 0-16, 0-17 on the power play.
Yep, no power play goals. Just a total struggle there. Yeah. I don't know how much we can belabor, but you got to make some of those count. Yeah, you can go back and say, yeah, they had so many good close calls. They just didn't get the right breaks, but it's like you need some of those breaks to happen, and when it happens. 100% of the time that it doesn't work, how many of those are actual breaks,
What do they say? Close only counts in horseshoes and hand grenades?
Horseshoes and hand grenades.
And slow dancing. Exactly.
And slow dancing. Well, not if you went to a private grade school.
Oh.
We weren't all that privileged.
Yeah, then it was a foot distant.
We all didn't grow up with silver spoons, man.
Yeah. Mine was tarnished. It was silver at one point, maybe. So, yeah, with that, Torrey Mitchell gets the lone goal for the Wild in that game, in that 5-1 loss. Fourth line guy? I thought that the fourth line has been one of the stronger lines in the Wild, and I've been a big advocate for that.
Yeah, but they weren't really there in the playoffs.
Well, neither was the first line or the second line.
Neither was any of the lines.
The third line, the special teams.
When he scored, there was 10 goals in the series?
It was a little bit of a scoring drought there, I must say. Wrong time to run into one of those.
Well, and honestly, we had some rough issues with the goaltenders, too. A lot of injury stuff, but...
Yeah, I mean, because Harding ended up starting game five after getting knocked out of game four. Kemper was his backup, and as we learned later on, you know, Backstrom, even though he was the emergency goalie in game four...
He was hurt.
He was hurt, and it would have been a bad scene had he had to get on the ice.
No, absolutely.
So, yeah, basically, I mean, we were limping in, and even the goalies we had were, you know...
They were hurt.
Yeah, so...
I mean, yeah, we had Harding, and, you know, he was obviously... He didn't have a winning record, and he missed most of the season because of complications right. with MS. And then you had Kemper, who, I mean, he's just a kid. I mean, he doesn't have a whole lot of NHL experience, so this is definitely throwing him into the fire.
Well,
you know?
Well, and with that, too, okay, so Houston, the last season, we can call them Houston Arrows.
Right.
Because they are now, I think, are they officially the Iowa Wild now, being that their season's done?
They are officially the Iowa Wild.
How much do you think that hurt their playoff run for the Calder Cup?
Probably a lot, you know.
I mean...
Well, plus, it doesn't help that they traded away Johan Larson and Matt Hackett as well. I mean, that's basically a forward and, you know, one of their top goalies.
Right.
That's going to hamstring you, you know.
Yeah, we might have been able to use an extra goalie there,
right? Right.
You know, it's kind of crazy, though, with this playoff run. The Wild actually had rotated through six defensemen that have never made the playoffs at all. Have never been in a playoff run.
I mean, even in the forwards.
Even the forwards, there was...
It's like, Clutterbuck's been around for so long, I'd forgotten, or I didn't even realize that he's never been in the playoffs with the Wild.
Clutterbuck. You also get Charlie Coyle, who's rookie.
Yep.
Zucker.
Or as they like to say on NBC Sports, Zucker.
So are you guys being homers and chalking this one up to a learning experience then?
Yes and no.
I think for the young kids, yes. And I think it'll be a good learning experience for them. I think that obviously more was expected out of that first line. And that I don't know that, I mean, really in hindsight, I don't know that Coyle's really first line material, but... He
needed someone with size.
Right, but that's Koivu. Koivu should be that guy in that first line. Coyle should be that guy on the second line with Zucker and probably Granlund next year. At least that's what I would suspect. But you need that first line. You need Pominville. You need Koivu, and you need Parisi. You need them scoring.
We need healthy goalies.
But we need scoring.
Need scoring. Scoring, yeah.
I hate to say it, but probably one person that was really missing was Danny Heatley. Because at least he will score.
Or he'll either score or he will make a play happen.
Right.
Although, I mean, it's not to say they did not have their chances. I mean...
They did, too. They had, like, 50 shots goal, you know?
That's what I was getting at. It's not to say that they didn't have their chances. Crawford was a beast.
Yeah, but that's the way it was down the stretch for every team that the Wild faced. We always faced the goalie that's hot, you know?
Is the goalie hot, or are we not?
Right. I'm going to say that our offense is cold, and that's just the nature of it. Crawford, he did play well. I mean, there's no denying that, but at the same point, you know, when every goal you face turns into, the next coming of Waugh, it's not the goalies. It's us.
Yeah. Well, you know, hopefully, you know, they take a break on the off season. Play a little golf, go back home, relax, come back, and full season next year, we get our top line gelling.
But we got some big questions still, though.
We do have some big questions.
Who's going to be our goalie? I know, Jai, this was on your docket, but I'm going to steal it from you. Backstrom is getting a sports... he had sports hernia, as we found out after the season was done.
Our goalie cannot stand up. Tell you what, get some rope.
And we know he's getting surgery today, I believe.
Yeah, that sounds right.
It's either today or yesterday or tomorrow.
He's also a UFA.
And he's an unrestricted free agent. He'll be 35 next season. I mean, do we even want to bring him back? I mean, we need a number one. We can't rely on Harding. And Kemper might be that someday, but he's still at 22, 23.
Well, we need a number one and a number two. I mean, you got to have somebody... That you can count on even behind your number one.
Well,
you got to figure that either Kemper and or Harding is going to be that number two But they need a number one.
How much longer is Harding going to be able to do this? I mean, that's...
Well, there that is a,
that's a fair question.
That's the thing. Backstrom and Harding both want to play for the Wild next year.
Sure.
Backstrom, even as a UFA, I'm quoting Russo right now, but Backstrom said he wants to return to Minnesota and is confident he can handle a heavy workload next year if need be. He also said he will not be motivated mainly by money as he considers where to play next season. I think he really likes it here.
It's all his fins.
His fins. But if you watch the Becoming Wild of Backstrom earlier this year, he actually had looked at going to St. Cloud State.
Oh.
The Backstrom? Yeah, it's Backstrom. And that's where, what's her name from the Gophers? Part of the reason she had chosen St. Cloud State was Backstrom was a big inspiration on her. Nora Roddy.
Oh, okay.
So, I mean, there is something to be said about that. That I mean, he's not just playing for the Wild to play for the Wild. It's not just here in Minnesota because he has acclimated to here. It's a place that he has always looked at.
I will say in Todd Richards' years, I was pretty much convinced that Backstrom was a figment of the Lemaire system and that his, you know, quote-unquote quality as a goaltender was mainly predicated around the trap, and that's what made him a great goaltender, and he was exposed. After this season, though, I'm going to waffle on that. I think he could pop. The big question is, I think it really comes down to, is he a goalie that can win a cup?
I would like to think so. He regular season, he actually tied the league for most victories. With, I think, 28, I want
to
say.
And
24.
You got to go with the ratio, though. You know, how many games did he get to start as compared to some of the other
teams? Right.
Right.
I mean, that's a matter of just getting playing time rather than actual prowess because, you know, he did have a really good season. I mean, there's
definitely.
No way he can down that, but he's no longer. With outside of the trap, out of Lemaire's trap system, he's no longer a, you know, lead the league type guy in save percentage and goals against. That's just, it's not going to be that way.
And, I mean, I'm not sure, you know, off the top of my head is his past year stats, but I'm pretty sure he is, you know, pretty much in about as many games as he usually plays in a normal season. Almost this year.
If you
not as close together.
As a percentage,
yeah.
This would be like the most games he started in a season.
Right.
You know, percentage-wise.
And, I mean, and that's what, you know, basically came to bite us, you know, in the end.
Well,
I mean,
look at how many of those are back-to-backs and, you know, one-day rest with big travel time.
And you got to figure some of that goes on Yo for not resting them. You know?
Oh, I agree. Oh, there were several times this year where you got to wonder why he wouldn't throw a backup in there for a night or something.
Right. I mean, yeah, so you had a couple days off, but give him another couple days. Let him actually heal up,
yep.
You know, because it's not like he's just sitting there on his ass, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, when he's playing six or seven games in a 10-day stretch.
Right.
You know.
I mean, it's great that the team's winning and all, but at the same point, he needs a rest. He needs to rest.
And I know that was brought up about that's where the sports hernia could have came from.
Well, not only that, but then not only does he need a rest, you need to make sure your backup's not getting cold.
Absolutely.
You know? I mean, how many times did we move Kemper and Hackett just because we need to make sure they stayed warm?
Can anybody define a sports hernia for me? Honestly, I don't even know.
Okay, this is what I know, and this is, and I'll stress that I am not a doctor,
yep.
But from what I understand, it's when a part of your abdomen mm-hmm. goes through the muscle tissue in your abdomen.
Okay.
So, like, your gut's kind of pushing through a hole in the muscle wall.
So, kind of like I just got done at the buffet and I ate so damn much that my gut's busting out.
Okay.
Something like that, right?
Here's Wikipedia.
Here's the Wikipedia version, okay.
Athletic pubalgia. Also called the sports hernia, hockey groin, Gilmer's groin, or groin disruption, is a medical condition of the pubic joint affecting athletes.
Ah.
So.
But it's where tissue goes through the muscle wall, I thought it was.
Yeah,
like
it's a syndrome characterized by chronic groin pain in athletes, the dilated superficial ring of the inguinal canal. Any doctors out there listening to us?
They're rolling over right now.
Dr. Kenny.
Yeah.
You know, note that he didn't quite finish medical school.
You know, I barely started.
But I heard he is doing Botox injections if anybody needs them.
Dr.
Kenny, proctologist. We call him the ass man.
We got to stop these plugs. All right. Somebody's going to get butthurt over this.
It's all right to have a little laugh on the last official episode of the wild season this year.
Yeah, all right. So, with that, I think let's go back to Josh, huh?
Yeah, I think he's got
let's see what else he has to
say
to us.
This is Meat Beast on the streets of Prior Lake trying to find out what the alma mater of Prior Lake, a great hockey school here in Minnesota, has to say about the special team scenario that happened throughout the playoffs. If you guys
remember
correctly,
late on
back
that,
in 2010, Mike Yeo was having a lot to do with the special teams in Pittsburgh. And guess what? That's where they ended up having a huge problem in the playoffs as well, not producing at all on the power plays and struggling on the penalty kills. They could not produce, and it was attributed partially to Yeo. Is this what we're seeing going on? I think there's some truth to the matter. There is an article from 2010 in the Pittsburgh Gazette about this exact fact, and we just witnessed it happen again. Obviously, Pittsburgh at the time had the players to make it happen. I'm a little concerned that we had the players to make it happen. Even though there is the whole foot race with Chicago, you don't show up to a foot race with Chicago. It does make it a little awkward. Something to think about. Something for you guys to maybe debate a little bit while I'm just... Actually, there's a really great bar over here in Prior Lake that I think I got to stop in and have a Sambuca. And while I'm doing that, gentlemen, if we could please, obviously going into the second round of the playoffs, heavy on my mind today is a dear friend that I always ended up talking playoff hockey and a friend of the show. Here's to you, BJ. Thank you very kindly.
Okay, and like we said, we already kind of went over the whole special teams thing. But do we get... Does anyone attribute that to Yeo and Yeo maybe either his coaching style or his system?
Well, I would say yeah. I mean, you know, in that situation, crap does kind of roll uphill.
Sure.
But how many coaches do they have, and who's dealing with special teams? And it, I mean, Yeo probably has the final say.
Well, and really, what it comes down to was Yeo out on the ice for the power plays?
No, he was not.
Yeah.
No, it is player performance, but
they couldn't score on even strength. What makes you think they're going to be able to score in power play?
I think what has just messed with the Wild all season long is the constant jumbling of the lines. I understand he's trying to find what works the best for the team, but I mean, even with the power plays, he was shuffling people in and out.
Yeah. So. Well, I mean, you also got to keep in mind, though, unlike a normal season where you've got plenty of time to let a line work its things out and start gelling, this season you just didn't have the opportunity, the luxury to let them skate it out.
No, you didn't. And you didn't have the days off to practice new drills in between games.
Or even practice with those line combinations. I mean, I would say a good example of where he figured out that, you know, things were working was during that winning streak. He didn't mess with the lines. He let him sit.
No, he definitely did.
So, I mean, I think it was a matter of the season. Maybe he made some changes where he maybe didn't really need to. But I can see it both ways. Really.
He might have seen something at practices that we did not see during gameplay, you know. Who knows?
And that we'll never see at gameplay.
No.
That's...
Yeah. You know, I don't know. Yeah, special teams, you know, Jive, I think that was you that said that, you know, Yeo wasn't on the ice during the...
Aaron brought that up. But in the end, somebody's head should roll. I mean... Honestly, the Wild, the way that the season started out, you know, You would have expected a better finish than eighth in the division anyways.
Right. Well, I mean, speaking of heads rolling, it does look like Yo is coming back for a third season. Fletcher's not going to drop him. And so far from what I have heard, it does not look like there's going to be any coaching changes for next year's season. Yeah, it was the first time the Wild's been in the playoffs since 08, 07, 08?
Been a couple of years.
So he did good there. Do you guys think that this is being attributed to, you know, hey, they finally made the playoffs, maybe they got something going, let's see how they work with these players? You think it's a, you know, this is a shortened season, it was tough to judge our coaching staff? Combination of both?
I think Yo would have been invited back regardless either way. And because honestly, if his job was at all in danger, I think the drop to eighth place and the quick exit in the playoffs would have been enough to probably get him out of here. So,
I mean, I know Russo had said that, you know, had they been swept, there might have been a chance that he would have been gone.
Yeah.
But, you know, I mean, you literally look at this both ways. They only gave Todd Richards 2 years. You know, he had a winning record, I think, in his second season.
I don't think he still made playoffs.
No, he didn't make the playoffs. But, you know, he had a winning record, so there was improvement. Yeah. But, you know, you hear from what was going on behind the scenes, and apparently no one really cared to listen to Richards, and he just wasn't, you know, that good of a coach. Where I don't think you really hear that with Yo. It seems like people are buying into Yo's system. Whether they're performing or not or doing what he's asking them to do is a different story.
Right.
But it looks like people are buying into it. However, on the flip side, when you look at, you know, last 10 years and which coaches have won, it's a lot of coaches that have won in their first and second seasons that won the cup. Quinville, I think he won in his second year.
Wow.
Yeah, Babcock won in his first year, I believe.
Well, Babcock is a totally different beast.
But it's true. True. Tampa Bay, Tortorella, when he was with Tampa Bay.
Very true.
He won in his first or second year.
You know, I might attribute that to kind of, you know, seeing something that's fresh and new. You know, if you got the same old hat that's doing the same thing year in, year out, the teams know how to play you.
Right.
I mean, there's video of, you know, multiple games. All you do is study a little videotape, and hey, this is what we got to do to get around these guys, basically.
Oh, it's like that third game for the Wild of the series. You know, what do they start doing? Going top shelf, and bam, bam, bam. You know, I think Yo, if he doesn't get further into the playoffs in this next season, I think he's done. I think he's got at least one more year to prove himself, but he's got to get further.
A full
season. I think that, if anything, he gets a little bit of a benefit of the doubt because of the short season. But I think he gets a full year next year, and if he doesn't get at least a couple of rounds in, then we start having this talk, and I think it's legitimate to talk about, you know, what's going on.
Well, and because how many more years do you want to waste of Parisi's and
Well, you can't,
right. You know?
Yeah. You've got way too much money invested in some of these players to not have a coach that's going to get the team to produce.
Right. And they're in their prime right now.
Absolutely.
This is their performing at the top of their game. I mean, it's going to start to tail off soon enough, you know, when they get a little bit of older legs under them. And stuff.
Well, and the thought that this is going to be, I mean, the hope is that there's going to be, like, I believe the 2009 Blackhawks, where they're still really young. They had talent, but they, you know, got knocked out in the first round. When what did they come back and do the next season? They won the cup.
Right.
So, I mean, the hope is that this was a good learning experience for those young guys, and that the older guys can learn from their horrible performance, and we get rid of some of these guys that just weren't performing.
Yeah.
I think there's a lot of guys that we got to question, you know, what are we going to do with them, but...
I hope he really can produce and do a little bit better next year, having a full season and having actually some time to work with the players instead of traveling and playing. So,
okay.
I think we got another update coming in from the Meat Beast.
Is he in Paris Meat this Beast. Time apologizing to the frogs from last week?
Meat Beast.
Meat Beast.
Are you there? Meat Beast?
All right, and yes, since last time we recorded, there's only been one game, and it was a loss. That did put us out of the playoff picture. This is the Meat Beast. I'm on location currently in Budapest, looking right over the Danube. It's gorgeous out here. They do actually get into their hockey out here, but the big thing that they all have been saying is that the chemistry between the Wild defensemen was not quite what they were hoping for insofar as the matchup against Chicago. It wasn't that it was bad as much as just severely, severely undermatched to Chicago's chemistry on their defensive pairings on being able to have a proper game. Gentlemen, discuss if you would, please.
Wow. That's a deep discussion that the Meat Beast just brought up there.
Well, I think we talked about it last week. Brodin not getting nominated for Rookie of the Year was a very big disappointment. But the defensive pairing with him and Suter, I think, is probably one of the top defensive pairings in the NHL currently.
And I think you really, I mean, beyond those two, I think we're going to have a wide open battle for who's playing behind them.
There's nothing solid back there.
No, I mean, Stoner would have moments where he looked like a real NHL player. And then and then he had moments where he passed the puck right to Marian Hossa, and Hossa would score a goal on us.
Somebody's got to make the other guys look good.
Falk would get in fights, and so he'd be down in D-man.
All know your opinion on Gilbert.
But Gilbert's got another year, so if they're going to... I mean, I know Russo was saying that he believes that Gilbert's gone, and that means either an amnesty buyout or a trade. I think he's probably got some value to some team, so hopefully we can at least get something in return for him.
I like Spurgeon.
I do, too. I think Scandella also will be a possible guy, but you also remember we have Dumba that's coming up.
Yep.
He should be a player in that. And then you'd like to see the Wild try and get a free agent to maybe help out as well. Hopefully one that's not just a scrub, you know?
Well, I mean, that was kind of most of a Prosser. Thoughts on Prosser?
Prosser, I put him in the same group as Falk, where they're still young guys. I don't really put a lot of faith in their talent, though. We don't have any depth, so it's like...
So, are you referring to maybe you think that we should be going out getting some other free agents, some veteran talent?
If we can. I mean, the tough part is we need a goalie. And so, whether it's Backstrom or someone else, we're going to have to be paying for a goalie. We're going to have to be paying number one goalie money to someone. And cap is shrinking next year.
I think that goalie is probably about the only spot that they might go try to find some veteran talent.
I think they need to get someone with some experience.
So. But it seems to me that the rest of their team, though, they're working on, you know, building up that young talent and getting that.
I think forwards were set. I don't have any fear about the forwards.
Yep.
You hope they score more. We're gonna have someone leaving. We're gonna have at least PMB. I don't think he's gonna be back.
PMB is a UFA next year.
Yep. And then Cullen is another one where. I'm hoping he's back because I think he's talented, but he's getting up there, you know?
He is.
And he's probably going to be looking for money because it's probably going to be his last contract. So
Clutterbuck's an RFA.
Yep. So he's under team control, and we can match and do all that sort of stuff. But
Veyu is another UFA. I don't see him. This is his second go-around with the Wild.
Yeah, he's gone.
I think he just kind of came up with a bunch of trade stuff.
He's got to be almost ready for retirement.
He is. Looking at defensemen.
I think he's that old, though.
Kuma is an RFA. He's still some time to develop. Falk is an unrestricted free agent. There's a few other guys. Most of them did not get much ice time, if any. But Spurgeon and Scandella are both restricted free agents, as well as Kampfer. And Kampfer was up and down and meh.
Just to show you how crazy things are, Stefan Veyu is 31.
Wow. Okay.
Younger than all of us. Yeah, it's pretty crazy. But, you know, I think they need to get another experienced defenseman in there behind Brodin and Suter.
They need someone to pair up and gel with Spurgeon.
Yep, and Spurgeon is an RFA. So that's another thing to keep in mind. So he's going to get a pay raise of some sort this upcoming year. Yeah. I don't know. They've got a lot of questions they need answered, and it'll be interesting once free agency rolls around and what things happen.
Well, it'll be nice. At least we got, hopefully, got two more solid seasons with Brodin and Suter at that top line D. Brodin, I mean, he came up quick,
right.
And I mean, for a young kid, rookie season, I think he played damn well.
Right.
And then, you know, keep him with Suter, and if those two can keep doing it, and if they can spread their knowledge onto the guys below them, man, I think we could have a solid D-core happening.
Right. I mean, maybe you hope that Dumbo comes up and he can pair with Spurgeon, but you still need a third line D. I mean, Suter can only play half the game.
As we found out.
Right. Only half.
And Brodin wasn't too far behind them.
He wasn't, but, you know, we need someone else for that other half of the game. And Spurgeon is, I like Spurgeon, and I like Scandella, what we saw of him. That still doesn't fill out the hour.
No, so. It does not. So, yeah, I said, there's a few other guys in there, but most of it, very little ice time.
Right. And that's the other thing, is you're going to need depth because, you know, throughout a season, I mean, you don't want to have your team using the excuse, well, we had several injuries and that's what hampered our season.
Right. I mean, that's what the Wild did last year.
Right.
And while it's true, injuries did derail their season.
Yes.
They had no depth, and
right.
that's why they got exposed.
Yep.
They got luckier this year that aside from losing Heatley down the stretch there in Pominville for a couple games at the end, they were relatively healthy this year.
Fairly healthy. Yes.
You know, Harding, I think that probably ended up hurting us the most.
Yeah.
You Backstrom. Harding, definitely.
Yeah. So, I don't know.
Yeah. But if Harding had been with us the whole season, that sports hernia for Mr. Backstrom probably wouldn't have been an issue. Maybe wouldn't have come about.
Right, right. Yeah. Okay, and then as part of this whole grieving process that we've got, some of you may have noticed that Puck Daddy, he's been enlisting the bloggers of the victorious opponents' teams to post a eulogy of the team they've just eliminated from the playoffs. And he enlisted some Blackhawks bloggers to eulogize the Wild.
Hockey.
Shut up!
Hockey with two E, night.com.
And it's a pretty funny thing. I mean, it's taking pot shots at Minnesota hockey in general.
It's a roast.
It's a roast style.
It's meant to be offensive. I mean,
if you don't feel like reading it, these are the bullet points that we came up with.
Our highlights.
Wild are not threatening at all. As it can be said by Zenon Konopka, our tough guy raising rabbits.
And owning a winery.
And owning a winery.
Owning a winery. Nice.
That tastes like a stale boot with something like that.
Clutterbuck doesn't bathe.
Clutterbuck doesn't bathe. Craig Leopold is Mr. Peanut. the Wild's jerseys looks like elves clothing, which honestly I don't disagree with that.
No. I think one of my favorite though, it was the Wild were replacing the North Stars, and they compared it to replacing a three-legged dog with one that scoots on its ass on the rug. Yeah.
That hits a little too.
A two-legged dog that scoots its ass on the rug.
It's a little too close to home, I think. So
yeah, that one.
It's worth a read, even if you find it totally insulting.
It's a roast. It is. So
put it to bed.
Yeah. So with that, enough talking about Game 5 here.
We got a few pieces of news to wrap. I think everything up with.
Yeah. First off in the news, we've got the 2-year anniversary of our beloved Derek Bougard, his death, you know.
Who did not own a winery or raise or have a pet bunny.
Right.
No, he was a tough guy.
He was.
And so sad, his family now is going to be filing a wrongful death suit against the NHL. Feelings on this, guys? I mean,
I know we back in the Puck and Drunk days, we discussed this probably
quite in depth.
I think we stretched it over a couple episodes. I understand where the family's coming from. All his, not all of his, but a majority of his medications were obtained through the NHL and NHL teams, particularly the Rangers and the Wild. He was also getting drugs illegally outside of that realm. But from what we all know, they were aware of his abuse because he had been put in the drug treatment.
Multiple times.
So it's, and he's never was suspended for it. So I could see how.
Well, they weren't performance enhancing.
Right. Well, it's still against their substance abuse policy.
Right.
So, I mean, I can see where they're coming from. It's unfortunate, really.
I would say, Aaron, you and I over a couple months ago went and saw The Last Gladiators. I would highly recommend. It's a documentary for the most part about Chris Nyland.
Yeah.
Kind of about fighting in hockey and the substance abuse and fallout that happens from it. I think watching that documentary sums up pretty well most of the points that we would have to talk about with the drugs and painkillers.
But do you think the NHL is at fault? I mean, that's no. That's really comes down to. I mean,
I don't think so.
Yeah, and that's going to be my same point too. Basically, when it comes down to it, I mean, anytime that somebody passes away, especially from something that's, you know, related to, you know, drug usage, which, you know, was ultimately related to, you know, trying to deal with pain and stuff like that. And, you know, who knows? He may have had a very addictive personality as well. I mean, this happens to your normal everyday Joes every day, too. But
I mean, does the league take no responsibility there? I mean, well, it wasn't like Bogaert was writing his own prescriptions here.
Well, right. And in his death, I would not put the league at fault. Now, I mean, and this discussion has come up for the NFL as well now, you know, with all the head injuries and the concussions and stuff, and the effect that this has on, you know, people's lives, you know?
Right.
And I agree that, like, people need to be maybe compensated for sure when, you know, down the road. They need to make sure that they're taken care of as an effect, like they can still support themselves after they are done playing hockey. But as far as, you know, the league being responsible for the death, they didn't, you know, he knew what he was getting into basically when he joined the league as who he was.
Well,
you know, he came in as an enforcer.
But they paid him to punch people and get punched. And then, right. And then when he was punched, they heavily medicated him.
So,
and that medication, which, you know, we all know is addictive.
Okay.
This is
true. It's a narcotic.
It's a narcotic, yes. He then became addicted because of the regular beatings he took by his employer.
So does the boxing commission owe Mike Tyson?
Perhaps.
Perhaps?
Yeah.
See, I don't know. I just, you know, I'm sure you sign some sort of a waiver when you join, you know, that. You know,
you can't sign away your rights, though. Not like that. You can't sign away rights that are given within the law. And if your employer is putting you in a situation in which your livelihood and your potential life, you know, is at risk, your employer probably should take some of that responsibility.
But where the NHL gets off the hook? It's not legal to fight. You get a penalty for it.
My question is the doctors that were writing the prescriptions, did they work at the hospital of the NHL, or were these just doctors?
These
were
doctors employed by the teams.
So they were actual just doctors that worked strictly for the teams, not for...
Well, I think a lot of those doctors, they split duties, so I think they might have some other practice. I don't know that all of them are fully employed by the teams. But yeah.
So now you're saying we got a Michael Jackson case where we're going to go after the doctor.
Yeah.
You know, that's something to look at. And if the doctor is not just if he's recommended by the team, or, you know, say, "Hey, we want you guys to go to these doctors that they're not employed by us, but go to these doctors."
Yeah, and if that's not the case, these doctors are employed by the teams. So
because I know they have sports trainers.
Yeah, no.
They get the sports trainers, and they've got, like, the medics and stuff.
If you go to the Wild website, at least I know it is this way in other sports, if you go to the sites, that'll show who the team doctor is, and it's not like a, you know, a contractor type thing. So, you know, if an employee for a company does something to you and wrongs you, that company's liable. The person might be liable on top of that, but there's a good chance that if the company knows what that person is doing, that company's liable.
Yeah.
You know?
I'm just pulling up the wild side now. I'm just kind of curious.
I know they had they mentioned who the team doctor was, but all the teams have doctors on staff.
Because I mean, I started thinking of a massage therapist. I see a medical director, an orthopedic surgeon, assistant orthopedic surgeon, a team physician.
So they have plenty of doctors.
Cranial
on staff.
Facial surgeon. And two team dentists. Go figure.
Okay.
Hold on. This is awesome. The only people that have hyperlinks after their name are the two team dentists.
So, okay.
Woodbury, and they're both from Woodbury Dental Care.
If you take a look at how all employers have to, you know, make sure they care for their employees, fine. But you also have to take a look at the salary that these guys are earning. I mean, they don't sign on to this because, you know, they're making $30,000 a year, you know. They sign on for it because there's a big payout here.
But how much you make should not alter the effect of your employer not trying to kill you.
Yeah, hazard pay.
Yeah, I mean.
What are you going to tell the U.S. government about these guys who are going over, you know, overseas and in wars? And, I mean.
Are they drugging them?
Well, you tell me. Could be a conspiracy, but I would guess that there is some drugging going on.
Well, then I think would be a case then.
A good friend of yours and mine, Mr. Will Spew, you know, I mean, I remember him talking about getting the IVs, you know, just after a night of drinking, just to rehydrate.
Oh,
I'm sure.
Well, that's the government, though.
But I'm sure
we all know the government is exempt from these same laws.
You know, another
you and I both know this.
All right,
another guy that Aaron and I both know.
And plus, there are some illegalities as far as going overseas. Because then you question whether or not they're bound by U.S. law or not.
Right.
So, just to put that out there.
Well, how many games of ours are played in Canada?
I'm pretty sure the Canadian labor laws are pretty strict, too.
All right.
Where are we going?
I think we're kind of stretching this a little bit.
All right.
We're having a little fun. Come on now.
on an up note, though, Harding was named the finalist for the Masterton Trophy.
Which he will lose to...
Sidney Crosby. You know,
no, in all honesty, you got to figure that he's a slam dunk to win this.
I would hope so. Crosby is still Bettman's golden child,
and I think McQuaid was the other one because he had
had
an infection or something like that. So
thorax. Six. Yeah, I'm no freaking doctor.
Why are you doing all the doctor stuff?
I don't know, man. But yeah, McQuaid had two emergency surgeries to remove blood clots. Unfit to continue his normal off-season workouts in order to give his body adequate time to heal. And he basically busted his butt to do his rehab the proper way and made it for the opening night. Granted, that was in the middle of January,
right?
But he still made it for that.
Yeah, and you got to figure he's a slam dunk for that. So,
and then obviously Crosby, because he's been in and out the past 2 years with concussion-like symptoms, and then taking a puck to the face. Boo hoo.
Well,
should we see if we can get a hold of Josh again one last time?
One
here?
Last time for the Meat Beast.
Let's maybe. Maybe should we rehash the picks and announce our little winner of...
We already covered that.
Did we already cover
that? We covered that with the wild loss.
Yeah.
Oh, so...
Yeah, Aaron won again.
I guess that I was maybe sleeping, right? So let's... We're gonna go to the phones then?
Yeah, let's go
Did
to the phones.
Did you say the Meat Beast is calling in?
Maybe.
Maybe. Bring, bring. Bring, bring. Bring, bring.
Meat Beast, are you there? Come in. Me, Beast? Are you there? Hello?
And this
is there he is. Hey.
And right now I'm currently searching for the soon-to-be new home of the Iowa Wild. I don't really know where I am. All I see is corn. It's kind of scary here. I kind of hear banjo music and feel like Burt Reynolds is somewhere hiding in the bushes waiting to reenact a scene from one of his classic movies. Please send out a search party.
Was he drinking?
drinks?
It's been fun. It's been a great
season. He's not allowed to do that on this show.
Together and at the end of the playoffs or somewhere in the middle of the playing for the cup, get a proper episode of Puck and Drunk together with a bunch of collaborators and sit around and talk
hockey. Yada, yada, yada.
And have one final show for the year. If not, folks, thank you very much for listening all season. This is the Meat Beast. You, of course, can hear me on the Clubhouse show on Cyanet Radio and also DJing on Cyanet Radio Tuesday nights through the late night hours. Thank you very much, gentlemen. Here's to you, Aaron, Kenny, Jive. Love you guys. Thanks
Amen,
for a good
brother.
Season, even though it was a partial this year. Looking forward to talking to everybody next.
I'm pretty sure he didn't know where he was because he was drinking. I bet you he's like just down the street from us, wasted off his... Exactly.
Bar fight. Well, that could explain Iowa.
So anyway, I will do my best to wrap it up. This is Aaron. You can reach me on Twitter at AaronGNP. And you can check out my band. We are at pinrot.com. And...
Yeah, it's Kenny. You can reach me on Twitter at RottenK999. As always, we will be posting updates on our Facebook page and our Twitter account at 3, the numeral 3, in the box. Feel free. We may have some mini episodes, some, 5-minute majors potentially throughout the summer as different news items come up.
All right. And of course, I'm Jive. I'm trying to hit the buttons and stuff over here. These guys keep smacking me on the back of the head because I'm always messing up. But hey, that's all right.
At least we're not throwing bottles yet.
Yeah.
Yet. Okay, it's time to cut this thing short here.
All right. And I'm Jive. You can follow me at Jive Midnight on Twitter. I'm hanging out with these guys. We're working on that whole Pin Rot project thing, so be sure to check that out. And have a good night, folks.
Holla!